Friends, welcome to Riverwood Podcast. I am a brother, Alain Misael, founder of Riverwood International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. This is our last teaching in our series about knowing God. We will carry on with our podcast on other subjects, but this is the last one on knowing God, where we've gone through the major traits that make up God's character. Now, our podcast can be found by subscribing to iTunes, Twitter, or Facebook, or at our website, www.riverwood.podomatic.com, and are sponsored by Riverwood International Ministries here in Laval, Quebec, Canada. If you happen to be following us throughout the world, please give us your feedback. That would be much appreciated. This week's teaching is on goodness. Goodness, a moral character of God. Goodness, a moral character of God. Now, David gives a good revelation in the book of Psalms about God's goodness. This is what he says in Psalms 34. Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Hallelujah. Now, David goes even further with his praise to God's goodness in Psalms 107. Psalms 107, verse 1. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, goodness is God's nature. I say it again. Goodness is God's nature. God is and has always been good. There is not a time in the history of the universe when God was not good. Man tends to fear God because of the guilt of sin, but even while doing so, God is calling us back to himself because of his goodness. The goodness of God is defined as his unrelenting loving kindness and goodwill towards us, including when we don't deserve it. In his goodness, God wants to bless us whether we deserve it or not. Again, the Christian church has not done a good job in portraying God's eternal good nature. The teachings of the church over time have led many Christians to think that end of the First Testament, or what the Christian world calls the Old Testament, end of the First Testament, God was an angry God who wanted to punish the stubborn children of Israel, the stubborn Hebrews, at every turn, while he became the God of grace and love under the new covenant. That is simply not true. Here is what the Old Testament says about God's mercy. This is the Old Testament saying this. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 to 23. Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. His mercies never come to an end. The mercies of God never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Hallelujah. Psalms 52 verse 1 says that God's goodness endures forever. Stays forever, remains forever. That means that not only God's love never ceases, his mercies never come to an end and are renewed to us every day, but in addition to all of that, God's goodness is always present. Hallelujah. God is just and good today as he was 2,000 years ago. And he is not going to be more good in the future than he is today. His goodness never changes. Its intensity and amplitude is constant. It is the same all the time. Amen. Psalms 139 verse 14. Psalms 139 verse 14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, O Lord. I praise you, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is what David's saying. In his goodness, God made us with bodies that are the best piece of engineering the universe has ever seen, with fully functioning limbs. Hallelujah. God is good in the way he created the universe, the earth in which we live, and the way he created us as human beings. God could have made or created a tasteless, monochrome world. Instead, he created a colorful universe and earth to gratify our sight. In his goodness, he created our body with perfection and perked us with the ability to enjoy things, to see, to smell, to taste, to hear sweet sounds, and to have sexual pleasure in marriage. Hallelujah. Now, in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 to 7, God appeared to Moses. God appeared to Moses and declared his character. God comes to Moses and declares his character. He says, look, this is who I am. Now, let's read Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 to 7. The Lord passed before him. Before him whom? Moses. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children's and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. Now, from this scripture, there appear to be three pillars to God's goodness. There are three pillars to God's goodness. Number one, God is merciful. Number two, God is gracious. Number three, God is long-suffering and slow to anger. God is merciful, God is gracious, and God is slow to anger. God is merciful because he shows unmerited compassion towards us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all consolation. Hallelujah. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies. God is the Father of mercies. Here is how Richard Booker explains God's goodness with us concerning sin, for example. God's holiness says the penalty for sin is death. God's justice says the penalty must be paid. God's mercy says you don't have to pay it. God's love says I will come down on earth and pay it for you. Hallelujah. This is how a combination of God's justice and love deals with sin. God's mercy, the Hebrew word for mercy is chesed. God's chesed is eternal and everlasting. But in light of his justice, this mercy can be extended beyond the grave to those who continually and willingly rebel against him, rebel against God. On the contrary, to those who fear God, his mercy is extended forever. That's what Psalms 103 says. Psalm 103 verses 17 to 18. God is gracious because he shows unmerited favor towards us. He is gracious because he shows unmerited favor towards us. This unmerited favor was extended to us when he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. He who did not deserve to die, died to offer his blood as the perfect substitutionary sacrifice for sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing." This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. Hallelujah. We are saved by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. God is long-suffering. God's long-suffering is extended to us in that God is largely patient with us. God's long-suffering is extended to us in this one thing: God is largely patient with us. He's patient. God shows a lot of patience towards us. Hallelujah. Just as he was patient and slow to anger with the children of Israel, so God is today patient and long-suffering with us, New Testament believers, giving us every opportunity to repent, to accept his grace, and to be saved from our sins. But when we continually ignore his grace, then his long-suffering runs out, and we fall under his justice. Here is what 2 Chronicles say. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 9. "For as you return to the Lord, your kindred and your children will find compassion with their captors and return to the land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, and will not turn away his face from you if you return to him." See, God is merciful and full of compassion. Hallelujah. This passage of scripture takes us to the story of the prodigal son, told in the book of Luke, in one of the most fascinating stories in the Bible. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 24. "Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger son of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property of my inheritance that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. And a few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying for hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Hallelujah. This story of the prodigal son is the most fascinating story in the Bible. This parable from Jesus tells us the story of the prodigal son. Prodigal means generous, excessive, and sparing, extravagant living. But when we really look at the story closely, we quickly find out and understand that the story is really not about the prodigal son. The story is really about the extravagant and sparing father who is moved by love, mercy, and compassion and will stop at nothing and will count no cost to bless his lost children. Hallelujah. When the son came to ask for his share of the estate, of the inheritance, he literally killed his father. That is because inheritance were normally given only when the father died. The son's demand, which was not a request for an early distribution, amounted to him wishing his father dead. According to traditions of that time, the younger son would have received 1/3 of the estate. Well, soon after he left his father's mansion, this boy found himself in trouble. We always all one day find ourselves in trouble, away from our father, away from our heavenly father, away from God, coming from different circumstances of life, from different conditions of living, from different traditions. We find ourselves away from the living God. It reached the laws that a Jewish boy should not, taking on unclean occupations, feeding pigs and longing to fill his stomach with pigs' pods. He abandoned all religious thinking as lack and hunger took over his life. Not even the sin he had committed came to mind. No one could help him. So he came back to his senses and realized that his father's servants were treated far better and decided to go back home. On his journey back home, this boy knew that he no longer had rights to favorite inheritance, and his behavior had not been up to the family standard. He assumed that his relationship to his father will be based on work. How many of us think that our relationships with God will be based on work? So we come to our Heavenly Father thinking that we'll do work so that we can be saved. No, your work cannot save you. It is the grace by the blood of Jesus Christ that saves you. We are saved by grace through faith. Hallelujah. It's not by work that we are saved. Well, this son thought that he would go and do the work in order to earn the admiration, in order to earn whatever he could earn from his father. He was willing to earn his bread by serving the family, including his older brother. As a hired contract laborer, farm worker, a mistoi, not as a douloi, or a household or a bond servant. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says, while the son was still far off, the son being yet far off, his father saw him. That tells us that the father was extremely willing to seek reconciliation with his son. The father was looking forward to the day where the son would come back to his senses and come and seek reconciliation with him and seek forgiveness and repent and recover the relationship that they had to have between father and son. Hallelujah. The father was continually watching over the horizon, watching for the return of his son. The father saw the son and ran towards him. Now, you must remember, brother and sister and beloved, that in ancient societies, it was considered undignified for an older man to pull up his robes and run. But this father, the father that is being described here in this parable by Jesus, is telling us the father, he put up his robes and ran towards the son. He said, I don't care about my dignity. I don't care about who I am. But my son that was lost, he's coming back home. And I will pull up my robes, no matter the undignified appreciation of my fellow man, of my fellow people. I will run towards my son. Hallelujah. He pulled up his robes and ran towards his son. This represents God's feelings for the sinners who repent and are willing to come to the Father of lights. Regardless of where we have been or what we have done, when we come back with a repentant heart God will enthusiastically accept us with love and joy. But better than that, He will restore us to our place of sonship and authority with Him. Clothe us with the best robe and ring. Robes were given only to honored guests. The ring was a signet ring indicating authority. The sandals were only given to members of the family. Servants did not wear sandals in those days. This is the God that we serve, who is full of love and tender mercy, who defined Himself to Moses in Exodus chapter 34, verses 6 to 7. He is the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, thank you for coming and listening to our podcast. You can always reach our podcast on our websites at www.riverword.podomatic.com or through our Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube links. Thank you. Bless you. See you on our next podcast.